The day two faithful people are joined in holy matrimony is a day both of them hope their lives will be blessed as they live in an estate established by God in Christ. Adultery, addictions, scandals, and unexpected death, however, happen. And sometimes a marriage doesn't make it through the storm. Hope in longevity is dashed to pieces by Satan and sin, and that blissful optimism marking the wedding day disappears. One of the marks of youth is the prospect of a bright future. Young people understandably make all sorts of plans about how things are going to turn out. No healthy 20-year-old hopes to be an alcoholic, plans on degenerative disease, or living stuck in a job he has. He has hope in a bright future, that he won't be like his parents. He'll actually achieve fame, fortune, or both along the way, while always, of course, being cool. The reality is, these hopes rarely come to pass. Youth always turns to middle age, and with that might come the job that we don't necessarily like. There comes the burden of marriage and children, the stress of serving the neighbor, both young and old. We always hope our health will hold out as long as possible, but that doesn't always happen. As is the case when someone in their early 40s or 50s gets the news they've been stricken with Parkinson's or Alzheimer's. We hope for faithful children who will stay out of trouble, and we mourn when they don't. We hope for the job promotion that'll bring in some more money and take away stress and financial burdens and pressures. We hope for those things, but they don't always happen. Sometimes it happens when the believer thinks he or she has God pegged on what he's going to do next. They hope in a course of action and pray fervently for God to make it happen, and he doesn't. Prayers go unanswered according to our will, and the hope we lay before God, our hope, isn't always fulfilled the way we desire. Friends, we have our plans and we think certain ways. We envision success and think by doing this and that, things will work out and God will just give us what we want. But when it doesn't happen, when our plans fail and we realize the phrase, follow your dreams, is just a byproduct of man not found in Scripture, we should at least realize our theological mistake. We hoped in our own vision, our own dreams and thoughts, and believed God would ascend to our desires and answer according to our thoughts and wishes, only to learn once again what it really means to pray, let thy will be done. We hope in many things, but many times we've all tasted the bitter pill of disappointment and despair. And maybe the disappointment is greater when we hope in our prayers, yet they go unanswered, at least according to our perspective. Rather than sinking into the pit of despair, the proper response of the Christian is always to repent. Repent of trusting in personal ideas, desires, and pleasures over and above the God who has given us hope and calls us to trust in Him. In times of distress, always go to the source of comfort, the God of mercy, the God of peace, who is willing to give even His own Son over to death that you may have life. True Christian hope always has an object. That object is not the strength of our own prayers, as if our many words could somehow force God's hand. We are commanded to pray fervently and in confidence. But our hope resides in the object set before us, which is God Himself. And furthermore, our God still speaks. We hear His voice given to us in the Scriptures, a voice for our hope, a voice for encouragement. And the Scriptures tell us plenty about how we are to live and how we are to die. When St. Paul writes to the saints in Rome, he's writing to a church with plenty of problems. He's writing to sinners living in a culture that's not exactly known for its godly ethics and morality. Like every sinner, Paul's audience pretty messed up. They had their share of issues, doubts, persecutions, sicknesses, the list goes on. And even Paul himself says in the Holy Writings that he's a chief of sinners. And he makes it clear. He has his bouts with sin. Paul's congregations and even Paul himself had plenty of challenges, obstacles. They had sins to deal with. But Paul points his people to where true hope and encouragement is found. And that is the word of God given to us by the God of endurance and the God of encouragement. Paul uses the phrase, quote, encouragement of the scriptures. He uses that phrase in Romans 15, the encouragement of the scriptures. And soon after he mentions that phrase, guess what? He starts talking about Jesus. And he starts talking about how Jesus has confirmed for us a promise. The encouragement of the scriptures is what the church believes, teaches, and confesses, that Christ has confirmed his promise to make children of Abraham by endowing them with faith to believe in his promise, that life, peace, and hope, forgiveness, these things belong to you now as you live baptized, bearing the very name of God himself. In other words, we hope in Christ, who has given us his inspired word, that always points us to him and gives us his salvation. This is our hope, not our dreams and visions. We hope in Christ and trust in what he says. The scriptures are given for our instruction, and we constantly must be instructed in the mercy of God, the hope we have in him, and the free gift of sins forgiven. Why? Why must we constantly need this instruction, instruction of the gospel? Because Satan tries to strip it all away. It is too easy that when our hopes are dashed, despair sets in. And then here comes Satan, accusing you of being a dead sinner, and you've got what you deserved. You deserve the axe, you dead, rotten tree. And these times of despair, these times of spiritual angst and turmoil, we must be taught once again what it means to possess, even right now in your hand, the mercy of God. The mercy of God that always means your sin is not held against you. You have his undying love in Christ, who died to wash you of your sin, to purify your conscience and take away your guilt. We must be taught once again that our Lord doesn't spurn sinners, but he welcomes them. Jesus welcomes sinners. He receives sinners. And guess what? He gives his kingdom to sinners. He takes their sin, and in exchange, he gives you clothing that makes you righteous before God. However, the teaching of God's mercy that we hear in his word, it is our hope. Because his mercy means all of your sin is not counted against you. His mercy means you have his unconditional love, a love that never fades. God's mercy means your conscience and hearts are purified in Christ, as you live in Christ even now, loved and forgiven. Christ has welcomed you into his kingdom. Because that's what he does. He welcomes sinners. He receives sinners. He gives mercy to sinners, taking away their sin, in exchange, giving them the clothing of mercy and forgiveness. These things are not deserved, O Christian. These things are not earned by our works and our merits. We do not stand before God and say, give me what I have earned. God, aren't you pleased with my labors? No. All have sinned and fall short the glory of our God. And the psalmist will remind us that no one living is righteous before him. Rather, God's mercy and his total free forgiveness of all of your sins, those things are always apprehended by faith. Faith clings to the word of God, O Christian. And faith draws hope and encouragement from Christ, who comforts us always with his promise, saying to you, each and every one of you, comfort, comfort, ye my people. Be at peace. Be encouraged with your life. Be encouraged with your life. Why? Because you live redeemed in Christ Jesus. You are one redeemed, bought, purchased, and paid for by Jesus. And you belong to him. That's why you have every reason to be encouraged. your sins washed, your consciences, heart, and mind purified, all by Him. The Scriptures, God's holy, infallible, inerrant Word, puts Christ in our ears and in our hearts. We hear it, believe it, and confess it by the power and grace of our Lord. Let us pray that our hope always resides in Him, and that we always draw the necessary comfort, encouragement, and endurance we need to live in this life as sinners justified, and He who is risen from the dead lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen.